Praise the Lord and good morning, dear brothers and sisters. Good to see you all back the Lord's Day, and praise God for the word this morning too. As we continue in the Old Testament book, we'll go back to Daniel chapter 9. If you turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. And let's read from verse 20. If you have your book, Bibles, you can open to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening ablution. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, sisters, shall we read the next few verses from verse 24? Shall we read it together? Verse 24 onwards. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end to sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall in the troubled times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come, destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the ablation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, the determined, shall be poured upon desolate. Loving gracious Father, we thank you for this precious word you provided in the ancient of days, the ancient word. We pray, Lord, help thy servant to break thy word in simplicity and clarity and speak to every soul which hear thy word, that they may prepare us and increase us in faith, in the knowledge, in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you all know, brothers and sisters, I've been looking at over the months or the past few weeks on the places of tabernacle, the ark, the temple. If you recollect, the last time we looked at the Solomon temple, which was built, was destroyed. If you recollect, I think hopefully most of you were there and have some. It was from Jeremiah chapter 25, and we looked at 2 Chronicles chapter 26, chapter 36, the last chapter. And even this morning, the word of God was reminding in the times of Zechariah, you know, bringing to our attention of the time where Zechariah was, it is after the exile, they come back to the city, back to Jerusalem. Now, as we read this portion, you know, this chapter, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel is over 80 years of age, okay? 80 plus, and you all know it's about 605 BC approximately when Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon invaded the first time, and that's when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were all taken captives, hundreds of them, and they walked over 900 miles from Jerusalem all the way to Iraq. And so Daniel has spent about 70 years, not exactly 70 years when you're reading this, I believe, maybe about 67, 68 years' time. And Daniel is reading the exact chapter which we meditated in Jeremiah 25. So what is happening to Daniel is he's praying. You know, Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed. So as we come back to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1, you see, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed, the Medes, which was made king over the realm of Chalcis, in verse 2, I, Daniel, understood the books and the number of years wherefore the word of God of Jeremiah. And that would be accomplished. What he understood from Jeremiah is one important part of the history of Babylon. How many years did Jeremiah say? 25 and 29, 10? It was 70 years. 70 years was a set time where God will judge. In a heathen nation, there will be slaves, and the city destroyed, the temple destroyed. So it's been 70 years, right? Long time. You know, 70 years is almost one generation. You know, life of a human, if David said 70 years is a blessing, isn't it? And it's a long time. And Daniel understood at this particular portion. You know what Daniel is doing in this chapter? It is a magnificent prayer from verse all the way to verse 19. When he understood, he intercedes for the nation of Israel. He understands how far we have fallen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, we have committed sin against thee. And as you read verses and verses, you see in verse 16, he reminds the Lord, thou hast brought us from Egypt. You are a great God. And he ends the prayer with forgiveness, mercy, and for seeking mercy upon the transgression. And he understands it is time to go back to Jerusalem. So this is happening close to before the Cyrus making a decree, you know, and Daniel is praying. And who comes when a righteous man prays? What does the Bible say? A prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Daniel was a man of God, a man of prayer. And one thing we could all take, even as we begin to meditate, if you're going through a discouragement, if you're going through trials, if you're going through challenges, one of the key weapons God has given is prayer, right? And even in the old age, he did not give up prayer. He sought the Lord. He sought the strength. And prayer was the strength. And he's praying not only for himself, he's praying for the nation of Israel. He's praying for his people. And how many of us just spend time in prayer, not just for ourselves, for each other? I think that is one thing the Lord was ministering to me, that we need to pray for each other, each other's needs. So that's what Daniel was doing. And whom does the God sense in this? It is an immediate answer to prayer. And you see who? Gabriel, right? Gabriel was not a man. We only know a few angels in the Bible. How many angels do we know, you think? Maybe three. One is Gabriel, Michael, Raphael. I thought there was three angels. I had a new one. I'm not sure about that. But Lucifer was the other bad angel, right? Michael, we have Gabriel, we have Lucifer. There's not many angels we know, but there are plenty, thousands of angels, but there's only a few. Where do we see Gabriel next? 500 years later, whom does he appear to? To Mother, the mother of Jesus Christ, to Mary. He first appears to John the Baptist, father, Zechariah, remember? And whenever you see Gabriel, he brings the message of comfort. He's the messenger of God. And here we see Gabriel is coming and speaking to Daniel. Now, before I go into this particular greatest prophecy in the Bible, why was Israel for 70 years? Do you know? I mean, they had fallen off, but why 70? Why not 30? Why not 50? Do you recollect? There was a significant reason God placed 70 years. Anybody remembers?
Then probably 70 years.
Spot on. The sabbatical. Yes. Yeah, if you read Leviticus 25, verse 1 to 7, And you also meditate Jeremiah 25:10 and Jeremiah 29:11. You see particular portion. Every 6 years they work, and the seventh year God gave a law to give rest to the land, not to sow, not to plow, even if they are fruits, not even pluck. So the seventh year was a sabbatical rest. As we have 7 days in a week, this yesterday was a Sabbath for Israel, Saturday. They would rest. They wouldn't even do any work. So 7 days, keep that analogy, the sabbatical year. 7 days, 490 years. So 70 years was the time. If you read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and 21, you read 490 years they did not keep the law. The 70 years was set. So it was a measured judgment, and it was 490 years. So that 490 years will also play in this particular verse, as I say. So we are at a bit of history. Quickly, it's 605 BC where Daniel was taken. 586 BC. Before 586 BC, Jeremiah writes the scroll of Jeremiah 25. And that's when he sends, at 597 BC, he sends the scroll with people who are already in exile to encourage them. That's where you read that verse, I have a plan for you. Plan to give you an expected end, not to harm you. That's the verse we always take. But that was an encouragement Jeremiah is sending to the people in exile. And 586 BC, that's when the temple was fully destroyed by Pharaoh. Even they had to relay the foundation, we read in Ezra. The Solomon Temple, which was a magnificent temple, was destroyed. So as we go on, we see 539 BC, a new kingdom. If you remember, even Daniel had the dream about the kingdom, the Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylon, the next kingdom was Persian, Medo-Persian kingdom. And Cyrus the Great is a king. He's known as Cyrus the Great. So we'll be looking at around 539 BC. That's when you're coming to this particular portion. So as we look at this verse, Daniel is called an introduction. As you see, what does God say about Daniel? In verse 23, greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. How good it is if our Heavenly Father could call the children, Daniel, thou art greatly beloved. Daniel was only worried about the 70 years understanding about exile. But you know what God is telling? Oh Daniel, I'm going to give you one of the revelations which will be of the end times. Not just 70 years. I'm going to give you a revelation of ages, to especially to Daniel. Of course, this prophecy was given to many other prophets. Even Zechariah has prophecies. Haggai is there. So Daniel receives this one of the greatest prophecy. I think we're looking at one of the richest, magnificent words with about four verses, as we just looked at, you know, from verse 26 to... Oops, is it working? Yeah. Verse 24 to verse 27, right? And as the prophecy begins in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your city. So now God is telling through Gabriel, 70 weeks. Now it's a plural with the weeks. With the Hebrew word, the weeks means a sum of, a total of. It's not like 70 weeks. How many weeks in a year? We only have about 52 weeks, right? God is not giving a prophecy of 18 months. He's speaking about 77s, the weeks, a sum of. Many scholars have put together, you know, how this works. I would probably, even I question, why should I agree? It is 70 times 7. You know, I'll come probably answer to that question as we look at this more in detail. So 70 weeks are given, the prophecy. And for whom? For the nation of Israel. And what is the holy city? It is Jerusalem. You know, and as I just look to this, I'm trying to put, hopefully it makes it easier. It's a bit of maths there. You know, when I say 70 weeks, firstly, 1 week is 7 years. So 1 week, we start with 7 years. 70 times 7. It's a sum of, a total of, if you time 70 weeks, times 7, how many years? 490 years. If you remember, why were Jews exiled over there? Exactly 490 years, they did not keep the law. They spent 70 years in exile. Now, God is giving Daniel a prophetical word of what will happen next 490 years. And how was 70 weeks divided? Did you notice? The 70 weeks was divided into three, if you remember. In verse 2, there was 25, there is 7 weeks. And then there is 62 weeks. How much is 7 and 62? 69 weeks, right? And then where do you see 1 week? You see the 1 week is verse 27, the last 1 week. And so you're going at 3 division of 70 weeks with 7, 62, and 1 week. And what would happen by the end of 70 weeks? By the end of 70 weeks, you're looking at the finish of transgression, to make the end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness, to put an end to sin. Brothers and sisters, we all worship today. God asked, you know, one of the brothers and sisters praying, I was blinded, I was captive to sin. Put an end to sin. Today we can live a victorious life knowing my sins were dealt 2,000 years ago. To finish the transgression, to make reconciliation, to bring everlasting righteousness through the branch, that branch, and to seal both the vision and prophecy. And it goes to the next stage, the millennium times, to anoint the most holy. So we're looking at a prophetical word going for age after age to even to the millennium times. Now, when does this prophecy start? Does it give an answer in these verses? There is a, this prophecy starts at verse 25. Know therefore and understand from that going forth of the command to restore and to build Jerusalem. Can you please mark these words as we look at this prophecy? It starts at a decree or a command at building, just, is that the temple? No, it's just also building the city, right? It builds with the city of Jerusalem. And you also see in that verse, there will be streets and walls built again. Remember when this prophecy is given, the temple is not there, the city is not there, the gates are broken, everything is ruined, everything is being burned by fire. That's when this prophecy is given. So it will be a decree, it will be a command which will go forth and the city will be built again, including the gates and walls. So remember gates and walls as well, because there are many decrees, it has to include the gates and walls. Now as we come to this portion, there are many times since this prophecy came, a decree were made by king, right? We're looking at after Daniel got this prophecy about 538 BC, historically, biblically, if you turn to Ezra chapter 1, turn to the book of Ezra chapter 1. We did look at briefly last time about one of the first king called Cyrus the Great, a Persian king. And Cyrus was given, this name was written even before he was born. In the book of Isaiah chapter 45, you would read about Cyrus the Great as my servant. Isaiah is written 700 BC. And we're looking at Cyrus when? 538 BC, right? Nearly 140 years or 50 years later. So God chose Cyrus. Even God chose Nebuchadnezzar to judge. God chose Cyrus. And what happens to a heathen king? God stirs up the heart of Cyrus. If you read in verse 3 of Ezra, it says, let them go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and what is the decree? Build the house of God. And he is God, which is in Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, we are all, most of us here from India, not part of the Commonwealth of Israel. The God who stirs up Cyrus has stirred up my heart in your heart to know the true and living God. With God, nothing is impossible. So Cyrus makes a decree in 538. As you know, not everyone could go. Many went. In that portion, you see Zerubbabel, probably Joshua, they left. Around 538 BC, they left there. Remember how old is Daniel and all the people who have come? 70 years plus, right? Imagine if you're 8 years old, you want to walk 900 miles. Would you walk? You want to walk all the way to Brisbane? You wouldn't walk, is it? There's no flight, there's no bus, there's no trains. You either have your own transport of a bullock or a colt. If you see Ezra, when they travel back, it took 3 or 4 months. That's the timing of the travel. It's not like I'll reach next day or after 2 days. It'll take months of travel. So Daniel would have stayed back. Daniel believed to have stayed in this nation all his life, looks like, in Babylon. Remember, Daniel was a prime minister next to the king. So they come back, and there are portions, as you skip through Ezra, the temple is halted. This began to build the temple. Last time we looked at, they laid the foundation. Some wept, some had joy, because they remembered the times of Solomon's temple. They wept, and some rejoiced in what God was doing new. And their people around the town bought hindrance to build the temple. And Cyrus was dead by age 520 BC. It's been about 18 years since he made the decree. There was a new king. His name was Darius. When you read about Darius in the Bible, please do not get confused. There are many Darius. Darius the one, Darius the two, Darius the Mede. Even Cyrus, some scholars believe he's been honored and known as Darius. So there's many Xerxes, Artaxerxes 1 and 2. So Bible does give a history, but do not get confused. So when you come to chapter 6 of Ezra 6, now there's a hindrance. And there is Haggai and Zechariah. Today we meditated. I believe Haggai and Zechariah there, around 520, 510 BC there, you know, encouraging the nation of Israel. And they send a letter to Darius. Oh, Darius, the temple is halted. Cyrus the king had made a decree about 20 years ago. Can you please look at the scrolls? And here you have in Daniel, Ezra chapter 6, you see Darius the king made a decree to search that scroll. They had a library. They found the scroll. And Darius makes a decree in verse 7 of chapter 6. Let the work continue. Let the house of God continue to be built. Now as you continue to move on, you see in 516 BC, the temple was completed. The Zerubbabel's temple with Joshua, Haggai, Zechariah, they completed the temple. It was nothing compared to the Solomon's temple. But they were able to offer sacrifices. They had Passover. And when you look at Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, they're all coming nearly 80 years later since the second batch left. When I was young, I used to think they all went together, you know. Ezra and Nehemiah all were together. It's not like that. When you look at biblical timing, you look at Esther, she's about 483 BC. It's nearly about 70 years since the first exile of Zerubbabel left back to hometown. Esther and Xerxes, as we all know, we won't go into that story. Esther, you know the story. Many of you are scholars here. So Artaxerxes, we'll look into it. That's where we need to look at. He is the stepson of Esther. And Ezra comes about 458 BC when Darius, Artaxerxes, gives one more decree in chapter 7. If you turn Ezra 7, you see Ezra genealogy there from verse 1. Chapter 7, you see he's all the way a Levite, a scribe of Aaron. And you see a copy here. Artaxerxes sends Ezra to go and put magistrates, governors, to build the house. So when you look at the history, God is working in heathen kings like Cyrus, Darius, Artaxerxes, Xerxes. I believe Daniel has played a very important role in Cyrus's life. It's not in the scripture. Daniel was with Cyrus. And Cyrus, he probably would have opened Isaiah 45 and showed, "Oh Cyrus, do you know your name is written in one of our scriptures 100 years before you were born?" Cyrus would have felt, "What? My name?" He probably would have shown that scripture. And Cyrus, and great influence God working through. Now, you come to Nehemiah. If you turn to, just turn with me. Sorry, there's a lot of information, just bear with me. Nehemiah comes after times of Ezra, about 460, 440 BC, right? And Nehemiah was chapter 1. We all know this prayer. As Daniel was praying, Nehemiah was also a man of prayer. Who was Nehemiah? A cupbearer to Artaxerxes, right? He was a cupbearer. In chapter 1 of Nehemiah, as you open, you see, he heard someone came from Jerusalem and gave some information. What do you hear in verse 2? The city is in ruin. Everything is destroyed. And people are in, verse 3 of Nehemiah, people are in great affliction. And the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. What does Nehemiah do? Exactly what Daniel did. We see he fasted and prayed. It's months of prayers. And as you come to chapter 2, please note the Bible gives a historical timing where we are. In chapter 2, Nehemiah, 20th year of Artaxerxes. Historically, Artaxerxes is from 465 BC from. 20 years from Artaxerxes, he's about 445 BC, right? And Artaxerxes asked Nehemiah. Nehemiah had his countenance was fallen. He was grieved. He was praying for the nation of Israel. This is where you read about the decree made by a king, Artaxerxes, in verse 8, where Nehemiah asks, Nehemiah responds to the king, "I need to go back and build the city, build the walls, build the gates." And verse 8, you read, a decree was made by Artaxerxes of chapter 2 to go and build the city of Jerusalem. So if you remember, I asked you to just remember something in verse 25. It begins with a decree, right? It begins with a decree to build the city of Jerusalem and also the walls and gates. This particular portion have different versions from different scholars. It's not been universal when you look at who's the right decree. But majority do believe, and I do believe, this is the time when Artaxerxes' decree goes all the way. That because if you look at the times from 7 weeks and 62 weeks, 7 weeks reminds, which is 49 years, 7 times 7 is 49 years. It takes you all the way to the time of the city built, and then you have 62 weeks of the Messiah coming. Now I've just taken this from a scholar who has put this together. There are many scholars who made a lot of effort to see the dates and times, how this all works. So I brought your attention to Nehemiah's time. If you remember, it was 445 BC, right? So the closest date, if you remember, the Bible gave you Nehemiah chapter 2. What was the month you read? It was the month of Nisan, if you remember. Nisan is in month of March, and he received the decree. If you take 444 BC from March 5, and you remember how many days in our year? 365. Ours is a solar calendar, but the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. Please remember the Jewish days in the month is 30 days, not 28 sometime or 29, 30. They have 30 days in the calendar. Theirs is a lunar calendar. So when you're looking at this 490 years, firstly you need to look at the Jewish calendar. And you estimate the days in 360 days they have. And then you take 69 weeks Don't take the first week, last week. 69 weeks times 7 times 363 is 1,073,880 days. You know what happens from that day? If we take with our calendar as well, our calendar comes to 476 years. The Jewish calendar goes to 483 years. 483 years. 69 plus 7 is 483 years. 490 minus 7 is 483 years. But in our calendar, it comes to 476 because we have 365 days for all the way for 490. Now, you know what? If you take that day, if you come to where Jesus is, it comes all the way to the Messiah, the Prince. It comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, to 33 AD. And it comes to, many scholars have put together, it comes to exact day when Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time as a Passover lamb. The palm day where they sang, Hosanna, Hosanna. That means save us, Messiah. What does Messiah mean? Here we're reading about a Daniel, an ancient book. We read in, even in chapter 7, Joel was bringing to attention of the Ancient of Days coming, which spoke about Lord Jesus. The Messiah has been written. If only the Jews can speak and search the scriptures that Daniel did, they would understand the time of Messiah coming. So the Messiah means in Hebrew, Mashiach, which means the Anointed One. The Anointed One. The one we remembered this morning about the branch of righteousness. The one who opened the scripture, if you turn to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, the very first scripture Jesus opened in the synagogue, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to opening the prison and to them that are bound, to proclaim acceptable year of the Lord." Our Jesus came 2,000 years ago, exactly as Daniel had prophesied, 483 years from the decree it went forth to build the Jerusalem and the city of Artaxerxes. Messiah came, and according to the prophecy, we see he brought to the finish of transgression to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation. Yet, though there were so many verses, so many prophecies about the Messiah, even today, people reject the Messiah. I had two people last week coming from Jehovah's Witness knocking the door. And I responded directly to them, "I know where we differ. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God?" They said, "We don't believe Jesus is the Son of God." I said, "Why would Paul, who wrote 13 letters, would say, 'Great is the mystery of godliness'? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one, exact representation of God. Why would you say it's a mystery if it's not a mystery? Why would you even question who was and who is? Why would the Bible say, 'Let us make man in image'? The plural, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in creation." And they had no answer. And said, "Search the scripture." They're still blinded. They're still there. Jewish nation still blinded. Praise God, dear brothers and sisters, that God has opened our eyes, our understanding. Even today, may we even take this verse, even encourages us. Daniel spoke about the Messiah. And Messiah has delivered us. He is our Savior. He has set us free. So as we quickly continue to move on, you see the street shall be built, and after the 62 weeks, in verse 26, the Messiah shall be cut off, not for himself. A prophecy of Christ crucified on the cross. Did he die for himself? Not for himself. He died for me. He died for you, for your sins. And you know, this prophecy also brings There is a people of prince who is to come, shall destroy the city and sanctuary. This prince is not, this is an antichrist, which we go on to the next time, with a little p, little prince. And what will he do? He shall destroy the sanctuary. 70 AD, after Jesus was crucified, the Herod's temple was destroyed. You know, the temple after Zerubbabel, Herod renovated the temple. It was called Herod's temple. And that temple was also destroyed. And we also have that verse, shall destroy the city and sanctuary. And the end shall be flood, and the end of desolation are determined. So, brothers and sisters, we looked at briefly about 69 weeks. There's a lot in it. I can't give justice to wholly to what the richness of this prophecy is. In 69 weeks, the Messiah came according to the time. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, in the appointed time, Christ came to this world. Right? It was not just a time, a day which was not planned. God had a plan. God knows the plan. God also has a plan for each one of us, for our future. Right? So 69 weeks have passed. And you looked at, you know, just I'm putting a map there so it could be helped. 69 weeks have passed. The Messiah came exactly close to the 33 AD since Artaxerxes' decree. Now, if you have an analog clock, right, the time is going. We talked about 69 weeks, 483 years, right? And now, if you take the pin off, the clock stops, right? The last verse of the prophecy said, if you remember, he shall confirm a covenant with many for how many? 1 week, right? And we were speaking about the people of prince, which is the Antichrist. But in the middle, he shall bring a sacrifice and offering. And what? And to the wing of abomination shall be one make desolate, even until consummation determined. Now, for us, as you look at, go back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And even as you read this, four kings, you come, you had Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylon, the Persian, Alexander the Great, the Greek, which were all in Daniel's dream. You come verse 8, after the Roman Empire, you see, I considered the horns and they came a little horn. This is the introduction of the people of the prince, the Antichrist. He's coming like a little horn. When you see him, even if you is here right now in the television, he would be insignificant, I believe. He will be a peacemaker. People will like him. He'll come as a little horn. Horn is a picture of strength and kings. And as you look at the chapter of chapter 8, you know, as you look at these verses here, chapter 9 and verse 27, we read, in the middle of the week, he will stop the sacrifice, right? In order to have a sacrifice, you need a temple. The temple has to be rebuilt. Remember, Herod destroyed the temple, and today there is no temple. This is how the Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple was built. This is how it is right now. There's a mosque, Al-Masqa Mosque. People, you see the walls, they even have the wall, they believe that's the wall, and they pray there, as you know. I think a few brothers have been there, families been there. So this place will change. And this is where the last week is also focusing and giving us a prophecy on. A temple will be built. And how does this last week begins? It begins with, he shall make a covenant with many for 1 week. There will be a covenant made. I don't know whether you've been watching the news these days. Do you know an Arab nation is trying to bring a peace upon Israel? A king of Arab, Mohammed bin Salman, is trying to bring a peace. I'm not suggesting he'll be the Antichrist. There will be somebody Some believe it is a Roman Empire. Some scholars believe a Roman Empire will come back, will bring peace. Some believe there's an Arab nation. We haven't been told who it is, but it is a little horn. And as you read the chapter, it gives a character about him. He'll speak about himself. He will glorify himself. Initially, he will bring peace. He will bring a peace between Israel and Palestine. He will make a peace to that city to get the temple back to be rebuilt. And as I was meditating upon this portion, many scholars worked on 490 years. And how do we believe this is a true portion? We believe because if you see the last verse, that verse has not occurred, right? What did Jesus say in Matthew's Gospel? If anyone can read Matthew Gospel chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. 24, 14 and 15.
This Gospel of Jesus shall be preached in the whole world, a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let the reader understand.
Thanks, brother. Where is Jesus? This is a chapter just speaking about the end times, right? What will happen in the future? And what did Jesus say? When you see, verse 15, wherefore you see the abomination of desolation spoken by whom? Daniel. Jesus is referring back to chapter 9. What you should do? Stand on the holy ground. The time is near, the end times. If you look at the portion like Daniel 7:25, you read it, the portion given, the time given is 7 years, and the last 3.5 years will be a great tribulation. None you can think of. There could have been wars, famines, more than the Second World War or First World War, times we have never seen. You know, if you turn to Revelation, chapter 12, verse 4, you read about time times half a time. The woman who would be going through trial, Israel, will go through a great judgment for 3.5 years. Time times half a time is 3.5 years. You read about 1,260 days in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, it says, and the women who fled in the wilderness prepared their shelter 1,260 days. 1,260 is 3.5 years. In Revelation 11, you know there would be two witnesses at the end times. They believe it is Moses and Elijah preaching the gospel. How many days? In 11, verse 3, you see 1,260 days. Again, you see different portion. God is giving about 42 months. In Revelation 11, 2, the city shall be tread upon for 42 months. Where is portion? Where is time? All focusing on the last 1 week. It begins with the peace. It may also begin, brothers and sisters, I mentioned when I shared about the temple and the prophecy goes together. Right? This particular verses we are looking is the city, the temple built. Now we looked at the, you know, since what is happening since Messiah cut off? Time has stopped, right? What is Jesus doing? He is building the temple. He is building the church, right? Say 50 years or even 70 years, if Jesus had come, remember, we all wouldn't have been in this plan. I wouldn't have been in this plan. I wouldn't have been in God's plan. God has a purpose. This week, before this week coming, the last week, we have various portions. How this will start. What are the end times? Jesus has shared many things with us. One of the things will happen is Israel will be back to this. When is Israel back? Since that 70 AD destruction? When did Israel come back? 1948, 47, 48. Amazingly, filled with Arab nations, 1967, 7 days war, 50 million tried to attack, they say, hardly numbers. How God gave victory in old times, God gave victory to Jerusalem. Today, Jerusalem is back. Jesus said, when you see the fig tree blossom, remember your redemption is near. When you look at these things, remember your redemption is near. Thousands of years they waited, brothers and sisters. We are in the times. Israel is back. Just 2,000 years. Even the timing, 70 years since they came. 1947, 2017, under the leading of Trump. What happened? Jerusalem is called the capital of Israel. Right? Capital of Israel. All under God's plan. All under God's time. So you're looking at last week. I'll probably spend a bit more time, God willing, later on the last week. But when you look at all the prophecy has fulfilled according to the time, 69 weeks have fulfilled, and one day the clock will switch on and it'll be only 7 years. Only 7 years, not even a day more. God has a set, God is sharing with the church, there will be a peace coming. Somebody will bring peace. He will stop the sacrifice. He will exalt himself. He will worship himself in the middle of 3.5 years. What will he will break the covenant? Abomination means something very offensive to God. You know, even it says their portion where he will probably offer a pig to God. That's when people will know we got the wrong person. That's when Lord says, flee, flee Judea. A terrible time of 3.5 years. Yes, it is going to be a trial and tribulation all the way. You know, the times are coming, which will be dreadful times. As we look at this particular portion this morning, brothers and sisters, we are looking at God has made a new covenant, an everlasting covenant. And when you look at the scriptures, God has told us, before the second coming, the church will be taken up, right? We have it in Thessalonians. We are in various persons where the church will be taken up. That is called rapture. It can happen anytime, even today. The Bible says, Jesus says, be prepared as if today. If God had a plan since Daniel, would you not believe God will fulfill his promise to take us home? What Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And what did he say? I will come back. The first time when he comes, he'll meet us in the cloud. If we are alive in Christ, if you're born again in Christ, the body of Christ will be taken up. We will all disappear. The gospel will be still preached. There will be people even after the church is taken up, believers taken up. God will work through different ways to preach the gospel. All the way up to 7 years, we see in scriptures, there'll be two witnesses preaching the gospel. Israel has a special plan as well. The last 7 years has a special plan. God is sharing a plan with the church. It is always a nature, isn't it? He shared with Abraham what will happen to Lot, right? We meditated last time. God is sharing with us that we may be. Why is he sharing? That we may be prepared. We may be ready. In Luke's Gospel chapter 18 and verse 8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will I find faith? If Jesus was coming today, Jesus is saying, will I find faith in your hearts? It is by faith and by grace we are saved. Last week, Hebrews, we learned we are in a race. Paul said, I kept my faith, I finished the race. Brothers and sisters, as the scripture is a true, living word of God, given by prophetical word to Daniel, to revealing us, everything God has said has happened. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 24 verse 46 says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. It is so important we be engaged in the work of God. Each one of us, there is a lot of people are perishing. Our brothers and sisters, our loved ones who do not know Christ are perishing. We continue in the work of God. Blessed is that servant. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray, you may not enter into temptation. Watch every day. What did Daniel do? He understood. What did he do? He prayed. Pray that you may get strong. Pray that you'll be ready. Spend more time in prayer. And spend more time in this. As Daniel said the scriptures, let us search. Let us understand the timing. And God is giving us, given us various portion of the end times. As you know, one will be taken, one will be left, right? But everyone who is born and saved of God, none shall God lose, right? John's Gospel 10, I know my sheep, they hear my voice. No one can be snatched from my hand. So this is our Lord Savior. May the Lord help us as we take this portion as Daniel did, that we may be encouraged knowing as Messiah King, and Messiah has a plan. He's put an end to sin, end to transgression, and we're going to a time of age with the millennium of the 1,000 years which God has promised, a plan for each one of us. May the Lord bless the word. Let us pray. Loving, gracious Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for giving us this word this morning. Help us Thee, O Lord, that we may be established in Thee, rooted and grounded in Thee. Help each one of the brothers and sisters here that we may prepare us for Thy coming. That, Lord, in the coming days we may be working, preaching, and sharing God's love to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.